For a number of years, I volunteered as assistant coach for my daughter's softball team and my son's baseball team. And I had hoped that a lifetime of passionate devotion to the sport of baseball would translate into practical, teachable knowledge, but they didn't work out. I could basically tell them, keep your eye on the ball, and if the bases were loaded, remind them, plays to any base. And those were my two moves. But I like being near the action, and I like seeing my kids enjoy the game. And by the time he was 12, my son had turned into a really solid player. He could hit, he could play any position. He just seemed at home in the field. He had this easy grace, which as a parent I found very moving when I wasn't wondering where the hell were those genes when I was growing up. At the end of the season, the tight knot of dads who formed the youth baseball mafia announced the all-star teams for all the age brackets, and my son was not on the list. He was really disappointed. But a few days later, we got a call. There were several worthy players that hadn't made the cut, and would we be interested in a second all-star team, the San Luis Obispo 12-year-old all-star B team? Well, Nathan was up for it. He wanted to know who else had been invited. Well, there was Hunter, good pitcher, good hitter, and had sex on the brain more than any 12-year-old I had ever seen. He would always murmur to his teammates about their mom's bazoombas. And he loved to say that line from The Office, "That's what she said." And his teammates would laugh weakly in that way that young men laugh when they don't really understand a dirty joke. There was Zach, who was a quadruple threat. He could hit, he could run, he could field, and he had major authority issues. His dad would always yell at him from the bleachers, telling him what to do, and Zach would start seething and just decide to ignore anything any adult told him. And there was Greg, who looked like a ball player. He would saunter up to the plate, fiddling with his gloves the way Derek Jeter would, and he would nonchalantly knock the dirt off the back of his shoe with the bat. He looked like a ball player right up until he swung the bat. And then he'd hit one weak pop fly after another to the infield. But Greg was part of a package deal. His dad was Larry, and Larry was a wonderful manager. He had a way of keeping his team engaged and having fun. So, of course, Greg was an all-star. That meant Larry would manage the team, and his first move was to ask me to be assistant coach. So I brought my two pearls of wisdom with me to the 12-year-old all-star B team. Now, maybe you've started to spot the problem here. We had 3.5 kids who were all-star caliber. You need 9 to play baseball, you know, and a couple of substitutes. So 7 kids were suddenly plucked from obscurity, yanked out of the chorus line, and told that they were overnight all-stars. And of course they wanted to be on the team. And of course, telling a boy that he's an all-star in no way changes his ability. So we went down to the first tournament in Arroyo Grande, and we lost every game. And then the next weekend, we went further down to Santa Barbara, and we lost every game. And then we went up to Paso Robles, and we lost every game. And there was a pattern developing. It was the middle of July, and we were 0 for summer. The all-star season was going up in flames, and Larry was doing everything he could to keep the kids pumped up, feeding them crumbs of hope, you know, letting them know that just one rally, we'd be back in this game. But, you know, the losses were taking their toll. The boys were out in the field slumping. It was even worse for the parents. They had started as this loud, raucous bunch of boosters, and now they were this subdued, hesitant group that would offer up little bits of encouragement that sounded like the vocal equivalent of peering through your fingers. The one kid who hadn't lost his resolve was Cedric, our shortstop. He would always find a way to get on base, and then he would steal second, and once he was on second, he would dance far off the base, clapping his hands and going, "Hey, hey, hey," just trying to rattle the pitcher to get him to throw a wild pitch or maybe freak out and balk Cedric over to third. Baseball is a game of inches, and Cedric was trying to get that tiny little advantage. And the fact that we were losing 10-3 most of the time made it a little futile and kind of obnoxious, but he didn't stop. And neither did the losing. We got to the middle of August, and it was time for the last tournament, which was in Fresno. The moment Hunter heard that, he got very excited and started telling his teammates, "Hooters, we have to go to Hooters. There is a Hooters in Fresno. I went there with my mom. Hooters is awesome." And one by one, the boys were picking up the call, "Hooters, we have to go to Hooters." They didn't know why, but they sensed it was a rite of passage. I sidled up to Hunter's mom and suggested this wasn't the most appropriate idea, and maybe she could tell her son to ixnay on the Hooters hay. And she got very defensive and said, "They have amazing hot wings." Now, the thing about the Fresno tournament is that the level of competition was even more fierce. I mean, these were teams from Bakersfield and Taft, and these kids were huge. I mean, these were 12-year-olds that could buy beer for our 12-year-olds. And I have to do a quick sidebar and just explain now the mercy rule. Because a youth baseball game is 6 innings long. But if you're losing by 11 runs in the fourth inning, game over, as a mercy to the parents. If you're losing by 8 runs in the fifth inning, game over. Now, in the Hollywood version of this summer, you know, we would have a couple of implausible victories and find ourselves fighting for the championship. But in real life, we were fighting to play a whole game. And it didn't look like it was going to happen in Fresno. The first game, we got knocked out in 4 innings. The second game, it was kind of close. We had a shot, and then the other team loaded the bases. I stood up and said, "Plays to any base," and sat down. My job was done. And the batter hit a lazy fly ball to left field, and our outfielder, Jefferson, he broke the wrong way and then realized his mistake and came running forward, and he dove, and the ball missed his glove and ricocheted off his shoulder. And one run scored. And the ball rolled into center field, and it was picked up by Zach, who had authority issues. And everybody was yelling, "Home, plays to home," but some of them were adults. And Zach decided he would ignore everybody. And he decided that the play was to second base. And he threw a bullet to no one. No one was at second base. And another run scored. And our catcher, Greg, went running and got the ball and heaved it to third wildly. And another run scored. And now the play was, you know, blessedly over. And the third baseman retrieved the ball and lobbed it to the pitcher. And it went over his head and rolled between the first baseman and the second baseman, neither of whom really wanted to pick up the ball. And at that point, Larry gave a scream of frustration and kicked over a bucket of baseballs and threw a catcher's mask towards the back of the dugout. Our fount of hope and endless optimism had cracked in two, and despair was leaking in. And that night, we had an emergency meeting in the motel, Larry and myself and a bunch of the parents, just shuffling the batting order and looking at the pitcher's rotation. It's like going to a gunfight with a spoon and just trying to figure out, how can I make the spoon a little more dangerous? And that's when the phone rang, and it was the motel manager, and he was irate and threatening to kick us all out. And Larry and I ran up to the second floor, and our team had appropriated two luggage carts and were having makeshift bobsled races. And they were screaming and laughing and having a wonderful time, and Larry and I looked at each other, and we had to smile because the All-Star season was up in smoke, but from the ashes, these boys had found fun and camaraderie and a way to bounce back from these games a lot faster than their parents. So we took the carts, we brought them back to the lobby, called it a night. The next day, last game, it's the fourth inning, we're losing by 11. But with two outs, Cedric is on second base, and he's dancing. Hey, hey, hey. And the pitcher throws a wild pitch, and Cedric scoots over to third. And then Greg hits a lazy pop fly that just gets past the second baseman, and Cedric comes home, and we live to see the fifth inning. In the fifth inning, we're down by 10 runs, but we load the bases, and my son Nathan is at the plate, and he rips a shot down the right field line, and we are all picturing a double that's going to bring home three runs, and we're going to see the sixth inning, and the first baseman leaps and catches the ball and steps on the bag, double play, game over, season over, oh for summer. But those boys walked off the field with their heads high. The next day, we took the team to Hooters. A massive lapse in group parenting. Somewhere on the internet, there's a picture of my 12-year-old son posing beside a large-breasted waitress. But the hot wings were excellent. Thank you.